I'm Michael Kaufman, owner of Backcountry Press, and I have a special interview with Ken DeCamp, author of Wildflowers of the Trinity Alps, which is now available across Northwest California. Enjoy. All right, Ken, it's great to have you here. Really excited about the book, Wildflowers of the Trinity Alps. Tell us a little bit about your history with the Alps and your history with wildflower photography.
Okay, well, first off, it's nice to be here and to see you again. I grew up in the outdoors. My mom and dad were both avid backpackers, hikers, and they hauled us along from the time I can remember on pack trips into the high country. And you know, you do that often enough as you're growing up, and that becomes your home. So we spent all of our time, all of our spare time, almost without exception, backpacking into the Cascades, and then in the 50s into the Trinity Alps. And it was when I was probably about 10 years old, 9 or 10 years old, that I came to realize that the area around the Trinity Alps and the Russians were really home to me. I came of age in that country, and I came into an awareness of myself in that area, and part of that awareness was knowing and understanding what I was actually looking at and hiking through. And because my parents really liked wildflowers and fly fishing, mm-hmm. maybe in reverse order,
fly fishing first, wildflowers second.
They spent a lot of time actually photographing wildflowers, and that just went carried over naturally to me. And I got my first camera when I was about 11.
Nice.
Took some really horrible pictures with it. Didn't know the first thing about photography, but that passion for capturing those images and those wildflowers has stayed with me all of these years. Unfortunately, all of my parents' all of their photographs were lost in a move back to the United States from overseas. Everything was lost in a typhoon, so I have no photographs that they took starting in the 40s into the mid-60s, which is kind of sad, but now I've got my own collection.
Yeah. Do you still have some of your original photographs from... From 11? Probably not.
I do.
You do?
I have a little album that my mom put together that has some really, really horrible pictures in there, taken up in the Trinity Alps around Stoddard Lake and Boulder Lake and places like that. It's, it tickles me to look back on them now. But that's how things start.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you have to dive into it somewhere. And later on, actually, when I was, been with the Forest Service a couple of years, actually several years. I fell into, because my mother was an artist and did a lot of oil painting and drawing, I kind of got into that also. And my first efforts at actually really capturing wildflowers and native plants was by drawing them. And so on pack trips, I'd haul along all of my botanical manuals and my drawing pads and pencils, and my pack probably weighed 140 pounds, but I spent a lot of very pleasant hours sitting underneath a bush somewhere, you know, making drawings. My first query into actually publishing a wildflower book was back in the late 70s. I wanted to do a book of drawings, and nobody was interested at that time.
Yeah.
So they're all hanging on my wall and my kids' walls.
Yeah. Well, you know, I noticed that Julie Nelson does have a book of drawings, a PDF book of drawings that maybe I could link to this little interview. It looks like a neat exploration of her art, and then just, you know, you could color them or, you know, whatever you want to do, because it's just a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
You can print it out. So, So Julie Nelson is also a co-author of the book. So you've 60 years in the Trinity Alps. Tell us about some of your favorite flowers.
You know, probably The first wildflower that I really became aware of was my mom's favorite, and that was the spreading phlox. Mm-hmm. She absolutely loved that, and you could find it anywhere. I mean, you can't go anywhere in the Trinity Alps or on the Divide and not find spreading phlox, and it is absolutely gorgeous, and it just forms these beautiful mats all over the ground. It's a ground hugger. My dad's favorite flower was azaleas, Western azalea, and to this day, I almost defy anybody to walk through a patch of azalea and not want to lay down and take a nap. It smells absolutely delicious. In fact, it's almost sinful. It smells so good. Those two are really important to me, but I think some of the ones I had to work the hardest to find are my favorite, and that would be the Trinity Penstemon, which, you know, entailed multiple trips up Packers Peak, always failing to find it, you know, in bloom. But I just absolutely love that little flower. It is so gorgeous. There's too many.
Yeah, too many.
I don't know really how to single out a favorite.
You almost have to know them by season, too. You know, like, you've got your favorite. My favorite in the new year is Scalliopus, big lovey eye, because it blooms in the redwoods in January.
Yeah.
But then in February, it's Trillium or, you know, something else. So it's like, you move through the phenology of the bloom and you've got your new favorite, or you move through the elevations. So what are some of your favorite wildflower hikes?
Probably the premier area that I love, I spent a lot of time there, it's easy to get to, is Scott Mountain. It's right at the summit of Highway 3 between Callahan and Coffee Creek. And you can park anywhere off the side of Highway 3 there. The PCT takes off in both directions.
There's a nice little campground there, too.
Nice campground, and there's some beautiful little lakes not too far down from the summit where you park. But beautiful meadows. The variety of wildflowers there is astounding. It's hard to quantify that. It's serpentine country, and part of the attraction for me now is that now that I know what I'm looking for are the little teeny wildflowers that blend in so well with the serpentine that you haven't got a clue until you lay down and actually start, you know, looking at eye level. Some of them are just so tiny. Scott Mountain is like a perennial favorite for a lot of botanists in California, just because of the vast variety. So many different botanical regimes meet right there. It's like the hub for all of these different.
And a lot of endemics too, things that grow nowhere else.
Yep, exactly. So that's a great spot. It's easy for people to get to. You don't have to be exceptionally physically fit in order to get out and hike around. And it wouldn't make any difference anyway, because you're going to have to go so slow.
To see all the flowers, yeah. How about a backpacking destination?
My absolute favorite for wildflowers is Stony Ridge.
Okay.
From the Stony Ridge Trailhead to Red Mountain Meadows and Van Meter Meadows, Stonewall Pass. And it's right in the heart of the Red Trinities, which are the serpentine, the easternmost part of the Trinity Alps, all serpentine. On a recent hike this last August, late August, I actually photographed between the trailhead and Stonewall Pass 37 varieties of wildflowers. And I finally had to quit because it was starting to get dark.
You had to get back down.
Couldn't take pictures anymore.
Yeah.
It can be a strenuous hike.
It's south facing, a lot of switchbacks, can be hot, but it is beautiful.
It is very pretty, and I'm telling you, once you get to Stonewall Pass and you crest out there and you look across at the White Trinities, I don't think there's a more stunning view anywhere.
I agree with you.
In the Trinity Alps.
And we have that on the cover page of the book, your photograph from that spot. It's really exemplifies what makes the Klamath Mountains unique with the serpentine and the granites and just the beautiful open landscape. Yeah, that's a spectacular trail. And there's a new species described there. And you ran into the person that described it, Pete Figura.
Yeah.
Antenaria sawyeri, named after the preeminent botanist John Sawyer here at Humboldt State. So it's another really rare plant that you can see right here in the Klamath Mountains.
Yeah. And it is fairly widespread right there from Stonewall Pass all the way to Echo Lake.
Right.
And I have to tell you, though, I was a little disappointed that they didn't call it Pete's Toes or Figueroa's Toes. You know, after all the time and effort he put into it, he deserved that, I think. But
he wanted to honor John.
Yeah.
So,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. But, well, cool. Well, I'm really excited to myself selfishly take this book out this summer into the wilderness, put it to use, dog ear it, maybe rough up the cover a little bit. It's just such a beautiful book. You've done an amazing job collecting, what did we say, 700 photographs and 505 species, something like that.
Yeah.
So spectacular guide. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, you have to remember that in the Klamath Mountains, there's over 1,250 species.
Right.
Wildflowers.
Right.
This is just
tip of the iceberg.
So, yeah. But, you know, you have to call it good sometimes for a field guide. And I think it's probably right at the point now where we might add a few things down the road. But
yeah. Well, it's a pound and a half.
So. Yeah.
Well, not quite a pound and a half. But yeah. It's a heavy guide, but, well, it represents the area very well.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it does. And also, the other interesting thing about this guide is that it is current with botanical nomenclature. The scientific side of this guide is spot on.
Yeah.
And all because of Jepson Manual 2 and the two dedicated botanists who, you know, the two Julies that went through this thing with a fine-tooth comb.
Yep.
So.
All right. Cool. Well, congratulations, Ken.
Thank you.
Thanks for the time here.
Good.